Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU fourth quarter 2018 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to Caroline McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the full year and fourth quarter of 2018, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we will be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number 2 of our presentation. On slide 3 and in the earnings release, we have a note on comparability of information since we sold our ConstruMart subsidiary in April of 2018. All of the information in our December 2018 financial statements is comparable with the prior year figures because ConstruMart is presented as discontinued operations in both periods. In this presentation, all historical figures are comparable because for periods prior to 2017, we're using revenue, OPEX, and EBITDA for the food retail segment only. And in 2017 and 2018, we only have the food retail segment. In the Excel spreadsheets we have on the website with our numbers, we've labeled which periods are comparable and which are not, but we sometimes get questions about this, so we wanted to keep this reminder in the presentation. If you have any questions, please feel free to get in touch. We'll start with slide number 4, where we have revenue for the food retail segment, which increased by 1.7% in the full year 2018 and by 0.3% in the fourth quarter. Gross margin increased from 28.2% in 2017 to 28.5% in 2018, and it remained flat at 28.4% in the fourth quarter. On slide 5, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the full year 2017 to the full year 2018. Unimark supermarkets account for 70% of our revenue, so most of the growth came from that format, despite the fact that growth in the segment was below SMU's average, and in the fourth quarter, revenue declined slightly, partly due to a strong performing store being closed due to a fire in the first half of the year. We continue to see strong performance from Ayuri Cedies in the cash and carry segment, with 4.2% growth in 2018. OK Market closed out the year with 3.7% revenue growth and 7.1% in the fourth quarter, partly reflecting new store openings during the year. Our operations in Peru also continue to perform well, growing 6.2% in the year and 13.4% in the fourth quarter. In Peru, we have also achieved improvements in gross margin, and while its EBITDA is still negative in 2018, we have essentially cut that negative number in half compared to 2017. Going back to revenue to finish up the slide, the only format with lower revenue year over year is Telemercados, and this format accounts for less than 1% of our total sales. On slide 6, we have our same-store sales and sales per square meter performance. We had overall same-store sales growth of 2.1% in 2018 and 0.6% in the fourth quarter. By format, once again, the strongest performers are cash and carry and Peru. Sales per square meter continue to grow, reaching an average across all food retail formats in both Chile and Peru of 318,000 pesos per month for 2018, which is 4.1% higher than in 2017. On slide number 7, we have operating expenses, defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX as a percentage of revenue decreased slightly, 10 basis points, in both the full year and the fourth quarter of 2018. In both cases, administrative expenses as a percentage of revenue decreased, due in part to a reduction in personnel expenses, which account for around half of our OPEX. Here, we're seeing the savings from the restructuring program we carried out in January. Distribution costs as a percentage of revenue increased by about 10 basis points in the full year and 30 basis points in the fourth quarter, as we have increased our rate of centralized distribution and we also saw higher oil prices this year. On slide 8, we have our EBITDA, which grew 7.4% in the full year and 0.9% in the fourth quarter. We also gained 30 basis points of EBITDA margin in the full year, making it to 6.6% for 2018. In the fourth quarter, our EBITDA margin remained stable at 7.2%, despite the weaker top-line growth. This year, we've had some significant movements in our non-operating results, so on slide 9, we added a graph to help visualize these effects. This graph compares the non-operating loss of 66 billion pesos for the full year 2017 to the non-operating loss of 86 billion pesos for 2018. The higher loss in 2018 is essentially due to three non-recurring effects. The first is the restructuring program we carried out in January, which had associated costs of approximately 8 billion pesos, but which has generated savings in personnel expenses that more than made up for these costs over the course of the year, with monthly savings of approximately 1.2 billion pesos associated with this plan. The second effect is the non-recurring financial expense associated with the prepayment of our international bonds during the first half of this year, approximately 12 billion pesos. However, our recurring financial expenses, excluding these 12 billion pesos, decreased by about a third year over year. Our financial expenses in the fourth quarter amounted to a little over 10 billion pesos, similar to what we had in the third quarter of this year as well, and representative of our financial expenses going forward. Here we can see the benefits of the significant improvements to our capital structure over the last 2 years. The third non-recurring effect is a lower gain on foreign currency translation differences. In 2017, we had a gain of about 6 billion pesos in the fourth quarter, and 8 billion pesos in the year, almost entirely due to our international bond. Since we prepaid the bond in the first half of this year, we practically eliminated our FX exposure, and therefore we no longer have the kinds of large movements we had in the past, such as the gain in 2017. In 2018, there was one additional non-recurring effect, which was the provision of a fine of about 2 billion pesos related to a ruling by the Chilean Antitrust Court. Our non-operating results were also affected by inflation, as a significant portion of our financial liabilities are inflation indexed. Inflation has been higher in 2018, and we also have a higher base of inflation indexed liabilities, as we have refinanced debt through local inflation indexed bonds. On the next slide, slide 10, we have net income, which grew 19.5% in the full year 2018. While one-time expenses hurt our non-operating results, we had an improvement in operating results, and we also had an extraordinary effect from taxes. The sale of Constramart during the second quarter generated a deferred tax asset, which is reflected as a gain in our income taxes. In the fourth quarter, net income fell by about 41%, mainly due to the non-operating loss, where the difference of 7 billion pesos is largely explained by the lower gain on foreign currency translation that we described before. In addition, despite an increase of 0.9% in EBITDA in the fourth quarter, our operating income fell slightly as depreciation was higher year over year. This is because we've been gradually investing more CapEx in the past couple of years, and we're beginning to depreciate some of those investments. On slide 11, we have an update on our financial debt. Our net debt to EBITDA ended the year at 3.8 times, which is slightly better than we expected for year end. We expect to continue gradually reducing this number in 2019. As far as our debt maturity profile, this year we have a syndicated loan payment of around 45 billion pesos due in June, and the Series P bond maturing in September, which is 1 million U.S. or around 28 billion pesos. We are comfortable with these payments and will most likely refinance a portion of them while paying down the rest using operating cash flows. On slide 12, we have summarized some of our highlights for 2018. With respect to our operations and Plan CIMA, our strategic plan for 2017 to 2019, we met our goal of completing 30 Unimarc store upgrades during the year. This is one of our most important initiatives as we aim to improve our customers' in-store shopping experience. We also grew our network of stores, adding 1 Unimarc and 5 OK Markets during the year. Operating efficiency is another key part of our plan. Our rate of centralized distribution for 2018 was 46.6%, up from 45.1% in 2017. We continue to develop our logistics network, adding a new dedicated distribution center for our Aldi format in September, as well as expanding our cold storage capabilities. On slide 13, we have an explanation of a couple of recent events. The first is that we previously had two sets of shares that were available for placement. The first set were shares that were originally issued in 2013, and the placement period expired in October of 2018 without the shares ever being placed. The second set were the remaining shares that we had left following the three capital increases we did in 2017 and 2018. The placement period for those shares expired on December 30th, 2018. We no longer have any shares available for placement. The other recent event is that on March 1st, we were notified of a ruling by the Chilean Antitrust Court, ordering the company to pay a fine of approximately $3.1 million and to adopt a compliance program with respect to free competition, complementary to our existing program. This ruling relates to a complaint filed by the Chilean Antitrust Authority, or FNE, in 2016 against SMU and two other supermarket chains in Chile for alleged anti-competitive agreements or concerted practices between the three chains and the suppliers in order to fix the price of poultry sold to consumers between 2008 and 2011. In SMU's opinion, the ruling contradicts a previous ruling by the antitrust court that was confirmed by the Chilean Supreme Court a few years ago, in which it was clearly established that chicken producers had colluded without participation of a supermarket chain. The fine requested by the FNE in its original claim was nearly 10 times higher than the fine established in the ruling. SMU emphatically denies having participated in any anti-competitive agreement or concerted practices with our competitors, and we are appealing the ruling before the Chilean Supreme Court. Looking ahead to 2019, our focus is on growing sales and maintaining discipline with respect to operating expenses. Our Unimark store remodels continue. We have 30 stores in the pipeline for this year. We're also planning to remodel 10 Alvi stores, and we plan to have a number of new openings for both Unimark and OK Market. In e-grocery, we plan to continue to consolidate the new technological platform that we launched for Telemercados in September while preparing to launch Unimark.cl. With respect to operating efficiency, we will continue to optimize and expand our logistics network in order to meet our operating needs, and we will work to continue increasing our rate of centralized distribution. CapEx for 2018 amounted to approximately 45 billion pesos, and for 2019, we're estimating CapEx of around 65 billion pesos. The increase is largely explained by additional store openings and the Alvi remodels, as well as investments in supply chain. Finally, on slide 15, we have an overview of the estimated impact from IFRS 16, which changes the way we'll have to account for leases. We've been receiving a lot of questions about this, and I'm sure we will continue to receive more questions, but hopefully this will clear up some of the main areas of uncertainty. IFRS 16 went into effect on January 1st, 2019, which means our first quarter financial statements will reflect the changes in presentation. SMU leases 99% of its stores, which is why the change in presentation is quite relevant for us. Under the existing accounting rules, some of our rental contracts are treated as operating leases, affecting EBITDA, and some are treated as financial leases, affecting the balance sheet. The treatment is determined based on the commercial value or the useful life of the asset compared to the net present value of the rental payments or the duration of the contract. In the case of financial leases, the value of the asset and liability we recognize initially is the commercial value of the asset, and the interest rate is an implicit rate. Under the new rule, all of the contracts will be treated as financial leases, unless the contract expires in less than 1 year or has an early termination clause in less than 1 year. In order to determine the value of the asset and liability to be recognized, we will consider the net present value of the future rental payment, and the interest rate will be based on the company's current cost of debt using recent transactions of our bonds. There will be one interest rate applied for our contracts with a duration of less than 10 years and a different rate used for contracts over 10 years. The contracts that were already classified as financial leases will not be modified under the new rules. Most of our rental contracts are inflation indexed, and another change is that changes in the value of the liabilities due to inflation adjustments will no longer affect P&L. These changes used to go through the income statement as a gain or loss on indexed assets and liabilities, but now those amounts will be capitalized and depreciated over the life of the contract. On the slide, we have the estimated impacts, considering the situation as of December 31st, 2018, and assuming inflation of 3% during the year. We will have new assets and liabilities of around 250 billion pesos. Lease expenses will decrease by around 36 billion pesos per year, resulting in a higher EBITDA. Financial expenses will go up by around 8 billion pesos per year, and depreciation will go up by around 35 billion pesos. The inflation effect that used to go through the P&L would be around 5 billion pesos, and that will now be zero. The total impact on the bottom line should be a loss of around 1 billion pesos. Two things are important to keep in mind. One, this is purely a change in presentation. Our cash flow will remain exactly the same. And two, this won't be a problem for our covenants. All of our debt contracts with covenants include a clause that provides for the covenant to be modified in the event of an accounting change such as this one. I hope this helps. That's it for our presentation. Thanks very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arthur will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Alonzo Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I wanted to ask about the same-store sales performance at Unimark. It has been declining consistently throughout 2018. It was flat in fourth quarter. I'm just wondering, you know, what are your expectations for 2019? Should it be in line with food inflation, which I believe is around 2 to 3%? Just some color on the performance of the quarter and what are your expectations. Thank you.
Hey, Alonso. As you comment, in 2018, the performance of Unimar same-store sales was not so good. It was weak because the food inflation was very low, essentially in the Q4. In Q1 2019, the food inflation behavior is in line with the last quarter 2018. It's in January and February at least. Therefore, we are not seeing an important change in the trends of the food inflation, and also with the impact in the Unimark and in the same-store sales number, of course. But in February and probably was better than January, and we're expecting that in the second quarter, third and fourth quarter 2019, the food inflation should be higher, and also we're expecting the majority of our store remodeled in 2018, growing more than the rest of the stores, helping to the same store performance. But of course, the food inflation effect is very, very important, and we need the better index in this aspect, but also with the real growth in terms of in our store remodel, it will be an important contribution to grow more in 2019.
Okay, and also looking at this year in terms of store openings, I mean your CapEx goes up a material amount. How many store openings should we see in 2019, and what kind of growth in selling area should we expect?
Indeed, the capex for 2019 will be 20 billion pesos more. Part of this, essentially, for the remodeling of the stores in Albi, we will remodel 10 stores in Albi. It was not remodeled in 2018. Also, we invest more in more remodeling planning in Unimar with light. Remodel with not full remodel but with some aspects. Also, we invest in the distribution center with the idea to expand the logistic infrastructure essentially for the more import in 2019 and in the future for the development of our private label brands with more import in aspects. And also, the idea is to invest more in our the rest of the investment is the baseline investment, but the 100% of the additional investment is focused to increase our same store sales, because the remodel plan, the new remodel in Albi, and also our expansion in yeah, and also we will include 3 new stores in Unimar, 4 stores in 2019, but in 2018 We open one store, we will open three additional stores. 100% of this additional investment will be oriented to growth more in 2019 instead of the same store sales, in the real growth. But also we need better food inflation, of course.
Right. So, but in terms of specifically of number of stores, you said three more stores in 2019 for Unimart?
Exactly. In Unimart format. Because we opened the Talagante store in 2018, one store, and in 2018 they did to open four stores.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. We will pause for another moment. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Caroline McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody, today. Have a great day, and we hope to have you with us on our first quarter call. Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.